from the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It's the fourth day of March 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. In agricultural news, the House Committee on Agriculture, with little comment, has rejected a proposal to reduce farm subsidies and federal support for crop insurance. Russia has decided to gradually lift import bans on U.S. poultry, not only after this nation agreed to follow Russian food safety rules. And Brazil is telling Uncle Sam it means business when it comes to U.S. cotton subsidies that don't meet WTO standards. It plans to levy retaliatory tariffs next month. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. And then, as we finish out our half-hour program, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Lernard Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Taking a look at the way the numbers settled up in Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures in the wheat pit were down 13 cents in the nearby March contract at $4.90.5. The May at 5.02 1/4, down 13.5, and July at 5.14.5, down 13.75 on a Thursday. March corn futures 3.75 lower at $3.72. The May at 3.83, down 3.75. July 3.94, down 3.75, and September at 4.01.5, down 4.25. December corn futures 4.5 cents lower at $4.08.5 for the harvest month. Soybeans March contract 9.32.5, down 22 cents. May at 9.42, down 21.5, and July 9.50.5, down 20.5. August contract 9.48, 18.75 lower. September at 9.35. Down 18.5 cents. March bean oil futures at $39.63, down 39. The March bean meal at $257.90, down 8.60 for the day. Feeder cattle at 102.52.5, up 2.5 cents. April's at 93.02.5, 12.5 cents higher. And the June contract for the live cattle at 91.67.5 was 20 cents higher on the afternoon. April lean hogs today at 73.57.5, 17.5 cents higher. The May futures, 78.95, finished a nickel higher for the day. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the U of I campus in Urbana. Here's what the weather forecast looks like, Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day at $80.34, down 53 cents. April ethanol at $1.60.4, down 5.7. Natural gas at $4.58, 17.7 lower. The RBOB down a penny and a tenth at 223.6. And heating oil or diesel fuel 2.1 lower at 207.2. Gold futures now at $1,132.60 on the afternoon. Settlement price down $10.10. The Dow at 10,429, just about 33 points higher. The dollar up 0.58 at 80.56. And the CRB index on the day at 274.80 is down 290 for the afternoon. Now here's what the weather forecast looks like for the two-state region. As prepared by our own Mike Sola, he says tonight, clear to partly cloudy. Lows will range from 17 in northwestern Illinois to 25 in the south. And then tomorrow, sunny skies. Highs will range from 38 near Lake Michigan to 52 in the southwestern parts of Illinois. The extended forecast says sunshine should prevail across Illinois and Indiana today and tomorrow. That'll continue into eastern Illinois and across Indiana on Saturday. Scattered showers, though, will spread into Illinois Saturday night and into Indiana on Sunday. The scattered showers will continue on Monday with widespread rain likely on Tuesday and perhaps lingering into Wednesday. Temperatures will rise to slightly above average over the weekend into early next week, with highs ranging from the 40s in the north to the 50s in the south. And then the temperatures will return to slightly below average levels later next week. A prolonged period of warm weather is not yet showing up on the maps as we look ahead through the vernal equinox, which happens on the 20th day of March. More on the agricultural weather forecast at the bottom of this hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to The Closing Mark Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. On a Thursday afternoon, we're joined by ADM Grain Group's Dan Zwicker to take a look at the marketplace. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
How are you today?
Doing just fine.
All right. So this morning I heard you talking to the director of ag programming here at the station about some of the highlights in the charts, and technically there were lots of things happening. Did you break through on the downside in any of those marks that you talked about this morning?
Well, I think the corn market held pretty good today. We did maintain closes above the 380 on the May contract, which a lot of technicians are kind of watching. As long as we maintain those closes, I think corn still has an opportunity to try to move on up to the 50% retracement level or the $4 benchmark. But we got to take one day at a time. It looks like momentum is turning to the downside. So I guess I wouldn't expect to see much in the corn market for another two, 3 days. I think we could spend some more time consolidating and maybe even showing some weakness as we go into middle part of next week.
Kind of an ugly little mark on the charts and the dailies for the soybeans, though.
The soybeans probably did what technicians would call some damage. We did take out the previous week's low today, and that's usually a sign that a market is turning down. I mean, that's the first thing a chartist will watch. Did we take out the previous week's high or the previous week's low? And in this case, we took out the previous week's low, so that is teeing up more of a sideways to lower type trend over the next couple of weeks rather than a sideways to higher trend.
In the time that you've been watching and charting the marketplace, is this a phenomenon where you might have corn with some strength, soybeans with some weakness at this time frame that is more recent than I suspect it might be because of the South American crop and the size of that crop, which now is equal to or bigger than the United States on a year-in and year-out basis? Has it really changed the way the charts look and at this time of year because that crop is now coming in and beginning to move into the export market fairly shortly?
Well, I suppose you could probably apply the application that the soybean market has two growing seasons and two seasonal lows, two seasonal highs in a 12-month window. And you're correct in the way of saying that, with South America such a big fish in the world market nowadays, and this year it appears that we're going to go ahead and harvest a record crop down there, that we're going to see a lot of weakness here over the soybean market as the market puts in the South American low, so to speak, during the March-April time frame. That's approximately about 6 months apart from when we normally, make a low in the U.S. North American harvest low, which is kind of a September-October low. We usually make a September low or South American low here in this March-April time frame. So I suppose you could say that. Whereas corn, we really don't have the competition from a harvest pressure in South America as we do in soybeans. But overall, the South American harvest is going to weigh on crop prices because it's basically going to take the demand, export demand element away from the North American markets and put it in the South American markets.
Dan, the question really isn't whether I would say that there's a second low. it's to you. You said you suppose I could say that or somebody else could say that. Do you believe that that's the way the marketplace is, or do you see it in a different version?
No, I think you do. I mean, you have to acknowledge the growing seasons of both South America and North America. You know, you go from, you know, from harvest low to seasonal low to seasonal low back to, or seasonal high back to harvest low. And I think that's what's kind of playing out here. Now, I've got some applications on some cyclical work that would bother me quite some if we would start taking out this early February low. That would kind of, I think, open up the gates for the soybean market to kind of drift in a sideways to lower mode well into the first part of the growing season, and then we'll kind of go from there. So, you know, it's kind of going to be, you know, a weather market from here forward. The market is starting to look ahead 2 weeks and see whether or not it's going to be dry and wet and whether or not we're going to start getting any field work in. But the bean market, where the bean market is really vulnerable probably, is that if a weather pattern would begin to develop that would suggest that we're going to start seeing some field activity, we're going to start seeing some corn planters take hold, I think the soybean market could recover quite nicely. But if it shows continued wet and cold weather and we're not going to get in the field anytime soon, that soybean market is going to come under another round of pressure, basically, to add to that South American crop.
Can you pull up the continuous soybean chart on the weekly for me? And it appears, of course, to my untrained eye, that you've got an uptrending market, despite the lower, the sharply lower that we've gone since, August of 2009, that you've got an uptrending market based off a low back in December of 2008, and then you've got another low in March of 2009, and one again in October of 2009, and this one in February. Do you draw that as a pretty heavy line of support across there? Is that what I'm seeing?
Well, we're right down along the support line. There's no doubt about that. It's kind of held. But if you would look at that formation, you do see a head and shoulders top formation in there, which, if validated, would, you know, really open up the gates for at least a test of the longer-term trend line, I think, which would probably come into play, you know, slightly above the $6 mark. I think if you would look at it
back in that's like 5/28 back in, I don't know, November of 2006, something like that.
Well, you would connect the 2001 low to the 2005 low, the 2006 low.
Yeah.
And that, so you got a long-term uptrend line that kind of comes into play somewhere in that 650 to 25.
Yeah. How about on the corn? What kind of, if you look at that kind of long-term trend, what do you see there?
Well, corn's probably more sideways than probably soybeans are at the moment.
Right.
And that's about all I can really say. I mean, I think from a cyclical point of view, you have to be somewhat cautious on wanting to be too bullish the corn market, because the corn market does the pattern, the sideways pattern kind of between the $3 and $4.50 area does suggest that we're vulnerable to going back and testing, you know, the bottom end of this $1.50 type trading range that we've been in for the last couple of years.
All right. What kind of is your bottom line best set of advice for producers? I suspect they don't have beans hanging around, so let's skip that. But if you've got corn in the bin, what do you think they ought to do with it? And it's unpriced.
Well, I think as long as May corn kind of holds this 380 level, I'm willing to give the market a couple weeks to try to respond to the upside. I suppose from a chartist point of view, we start closing below 280. That reduces those chances that we could try to rally. But I kind of think the dollar is ripe for some kind of setback in here over the next 2 to 3 weeks, and I think that could help us out and give us one more shot yet back up in the corn market. So I guess if I had corn right in here, I'd be looking for a place to sell it, but I think I would give the market an opportunity to try to regain what we've lost so far this week.
And really, the 380, I think you said 280, but you meant 380 mark. If it
380.
Below,
yeah, 380 May is closes below that would suggest that you could probably lose 10 cents real quick. But then you're down, I think, in some pretty good rock support area again, 270. But I would say that we're probably at the middle of a 270, 290 range. And as long as we can kind of hold closes above this 280, we still have a shot at going back into the 290 and above area here over the next couple weeks.
Are you worried enough that you want to market any new crop corn?
Well, yeah, I suppose, you know, you have to be worried, at least what I see. But I don't think you want to get too aggressive, you know, on weakness. Still be in the position to take advantage of moves above the $4 mark.
Dan, thanks so much.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group. He's out of Decatur, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Thursday afternoon.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Dave Dickey is here now. He'll have a look at today's agricultural news. One quick note, we're sold out on next week's all-day Ag Outlook meeting. Thanks to all those who pre-registered.
In agricultural news, the House Agriculture Committee on Wednesday rejected President Barack Obama's proposals to reduce crop subsidies to higher-income farmers and federal support for crop insurance. There was little discussion. The ad administration wanted to lower the income cutoff over 3 years to $250,000 off-farm AGI and $500,000 on-farm AGI. Some 30,000 people would be affected. The White House also proposed a $30,000 cap on the annual direct payment subsidy, down from the current $40,000 level, and cuts in federal subsidies to the privately run crop insurance system. The head of Russia's Animal and Plant Health Watchdog Group today says that Russia will gradually lift import bans on U.S. pork plants after Washington agreed to observe Russian food safety rules. The official says that the U.S. and Russia exchanged signed documents in which the U.S. side agreed to observe Russian demands. However, a U.S. delegation visiting Moscow has yet to conclude talks on reopening the Russian market for U.S. poultry. Russia suspended U.S. chicken imports in January. Russia ranks among the U.S.'s top five markets for pork and is the single largest export market for U.S. poultry. Brazil says it will retaliate against U.S. cotton subsidies in April unless both sides reach a negotiated solution to the long-standing trade dispute. The South American agricultural giant will present a list next week of U.S. products on which tariffs would be imposed. The sanctions would take effect 30 days after the list is published. U.S. Trade Representative Ron Kirk says that the U.S. will give Colombia a list of proposals in coming months to resolve labor and violence concerns that have blocked U.S. approval of a free trade agreement for over 3 years. The remarks are the closest that Kirk has come to give a timetable for U.S. action on the agreement. The Obama administration is asking Congress to appropriate $1.15 billion in emergency funding to pay black farmers settlements they were awarded in a discrimination case known as Pigford II. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack says the agency is asking for the funding because the 2008 Farm Bill, which urged USDA to settle the case and provided an initial $100 million, said the Justice Department's judgment fund, the normal source of settlement money, could not be used to make the payments. Vilsack says the Obama administration wants Congress to provide the money by March 31st. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week Response. And pre-registrations for our all-day Ag Outlook meeting have been closed. It was overwhelming. Thank you so much for all those who prepaid and signed up for that all-day Ag Outlook meeting that happens next Tuesday at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. We're at capacity now, so we won't sell any more tickets that morning, nor are we selling any more tickets from the radio station as pre-registration at this point. Again, thanks to all those who signed up to come to our all-day Ag Outlook meeting next Tuesday. Now, up next, you know, a program that benefits horse owners, small livestock operators, and gardeners and landscapers, and the environment is now available online, that courtesy of University of Illinois Extension. I'll have more on ManureShare. Illinois ManureShare is a free website, free to use, that is, says University of Illinois Extension's Randy Fauner.
ManureShare is a website that we put together to try and help livestock producers, horse owners, stable owners that have excess manure, maybe to find people that are looking for manure to compost, or for people that are wanting to compost and need additional manure, they can get in contact with those people. So we basically have two lists, kind of a supply and demand. You can be on either list, obviously, depending on what your situation is. And you can also sort through the list to see if there are people in your area that fit your needs.
It's an online manure exchange program that brings gardeners and landscapers searching for organic materials to use in composting or field applications in contact with livestock owners who have excess manure. The program's goal is to remove the manure from the farms that do not have acreage to adequately utilize its nutrients on their fields or pastures and put it into places where it can be used safely and successfully. And it's super simple to use.
Basically, you go onto the website and you register. You fill in the information, how to contact you and what kind of delivery methods maybe you have or don't have, whether you have a nutrient analysis available for people that are picking up manure. And then you can go in and you can search the list to find people in your area that have manure or want to give manure away.
This exchange benefits water quality by removing excess nutrients from farms and by lowering the amount of commercial fertilizers used by gardeners and others. The website, www.manureshare.illinois.edu, includes registration forms for both livestock producers wishing to dispose of manure and for gardeners and landscapers seeking the product. There are also links to federal and state rules and regulations affecting the process. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You are listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's a Thursday afternoon. We always talk with Pete Levitt, agricultural meteorologist. He will join us here in just 2 minutes, so stay tuned.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. Many University of Illinois faculty coordinated a mandatory furlough day today to coincide with a noontime rally to protest the administration's handling of ongoing budget problems. Members of faculty groups and unions say the U of I's budget should be made more transparent so that employees and students can help the administration economize without mandatory furloughs or pay cuts. They also spoke out against word of tuition increases that could reach 20% for the next school year, saying such a hike would cut off access to worthy students and make the Urbana campus less diverse. The manager of Willard Airport says a new air traffic control tower there could lose about 14 jobs to the Chicago area. Steve Wanzek says he's seeing little benefit to the FAA proposal to move some radar control operator jobs to Elgin by the year 2015. He says there's a plan to build an updated tower at Willard, minus the space for those employees who monitor radar for planes that can't be seen from the tower and can do their jobs elsewhere. FAA spokesman Tony Molinaro says the agency is doing an analysis of what the cost savings would be compared to paying those people to work in the Chicago area. Wanzek says the change would mean losing workers who know East Central Illinois and could help guide a pilot in the event of an emergency landing. The National Air Traffic Controllers Association is also opposed to the plan. A judge in Florida has denied bond for a man authorities describe as a suspect in the shooting deaths of three people inside their suburban Chicago home. During a hearing today, 23-year-old Jacob Nordars was also waived extradition to Illinois. U.S. Marshals arrested Nordars yesterday outside his parents' home in Lee Acres, Florida. He was arrested on an Illinois warrant for obstruction of justice. Officials with the U.S. Marshals Office say Nordars is a suspect in the deaths of 48-year-old Lori Kramer, 50-year-old Jeffrey Kramer, and their 20-year-old son Michael Kramer. The Indiana Senate has given final legislative approval to a bill that would require deadbeat parents who hit big slot machine jackpots at casinos to give up the cash to their children. The Senate voted unanimously today to endorse House changes to the bill that had cleared the Senate previously. It now goes to Governor Mitch Daniels for its consideration. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Thursday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. Time to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather. And Pete Labatt joins us to do that. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Yes, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, Pete, tell me about weather here in the Midwest. We've got a really nice day happening right now. It's just gorgeous, though I suppose it's not going to stay quite that way for a very long time.
Well, I think it's going to linger a day longer than people were expecting. We've got high pressure extending from the Great Lakes southward into the Gulf of Mexico. The axis of this ridge of high pressure is to the east of Illinois now, so we're seeing some southerly flow in the winds, and the southerly flow are giving us warmer temperatures. And that's brought the temperatures generally up into the 40s statewide, from the low 40s up north to the upper 40s down south. And this ridge is moving very slowly eastward. And as a result, the weather system that's to the west over the eastern plains is going to slide eastward more slowly than we thought. In other words, what I'm trying to say is we're going to have a decent day tomorrow as well. And then we'll start to get some clouds in late tomorrow night and Sunday. And the storm system that's to the southwest of us looks like it's going to go by pretty far to the south. And this means that the precipitation from it on Sunday will get up over the southern half of Illinois, and maybe only some light and intermittent stuff up in the northwest. It'll be mostly rain down south, mixture of rain and maybe a little sleet or freezing rain in the extreme northwest on Sunday. And then that system works its way slowly through the eastern Corn Belt, but to the southern portions of the eastern Corn Belt, and that keeps the precipitation mostly over southwestern Indiana and light and scattered on Monday, and I think by Tuesday it will be out of the way for most of Indiana, at least northern and central areas. So I think the big to-do you're going to have out there on Tuesday looks maybe a lot of cloudiness around, but I don't think much in the way of precipitation.
Oh, that would be fantastic. So a good day on Tuesday. A good day for all day ag outlook meeting is one that only has snow and not ice. So anything better than that is really nice. It sounds like it will be good for us.
Okay. Well, I can say on the good side of that then is that ice is not going to be a problem. The temperatures on Tuesday will be generally above freezing. It'll be well up in the 40s, I think, on Tuesday.
All right. And then take a look at South America for me very quickly.
Okay, South America. The weather in South America has been fairly favorable. They have had a lot of rain in Brazil, but that's moving off to the northeast now, and they're drying out. And where it's been dry in northeastern Brazil, which is mostly sugar-growing areas and some other non-grains that they grow in the northeastern part of Brazil, they're finally going to get some rain, and that'll benefit them up there. It'll dry out a little bit in southern Brazil, and that's fine. In Argentina, south of Brazil, The weather's been good. They've had the showers, which they haven't had the past few years, and they had abundant rain the past week, and now things are drying out and getting warmer, but the rain really set them up for good development of their crops down there, as it is summertime in the South American countries.
Pete, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
We'll talk with you again next week. Pete Levitt, his agricultural meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Thursday afternoon. Thanks for being with us today. The Closing Mark Report, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media.